pleasure to introduce to you the fifth president of the University of Alaska, Dr. Robert W. Hyatt. Dr. Hyatt has already put in a good day's work. He's come to Fairbanks just within the past hour or so. He hasn't had time to really stop and refresh, change clothes and all this type of thing, but he is here and he is ready to go. And at this time, I'd ask Jerry Boquette to come up and, Jerry, carry on at this point.
I don't think there's anything I really need to say. You all know this is Dr. Hyatt, and I'm sure he'll be happy to speak to you and answer your questions.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry, Earl. I want to say first how much I appreciate the organization that has gone into this particular briefing. I came here actually for a relatively short period on this particular trip. As most of you know, I've come from an overseas assignment. I haven't been back home, so to speak, yet. And so next Wednesday, I must go on to Washington to complete my debriefing of the State Department with respect to my post overseas. And then I hope to retrace part of my steps back to Hawaii to get my household goods and personal effects out of storage and on their way up here, then back to San Francisco and up here. So I have a little odyssey yet ahead of me before I really settle in on campus. Since I am now entering my second presidency, I can, in a way, understand how a widow feels when she gets married for the second time. If I'm no longer entitled to wear white, at least I can bring to the affair some understanding of what is required. And I think on reflection, I'll not pursue that matter any further. I've been given just a few minutes to speak on really any matter I wish to. I will certainly not confine my remarks to the local scene, for having just arrived, obviously I need considerably more time and reflection before I express any judgments on the matter. However, I will mention just a few major objectives, I think, which would apply to any state educational system, higher educational system, and indicate how I expect that our activities will flow in the future from these particular objectives. There's a very great danger, of course, that when one begins to settle in, he gets so bogged down with the means to the end that he loses sight of the ends. Now, in order to forestall that today, I want to talk a little bit about objectives and leave the means until later. This university system, like most state university systems, has enjoyed a rather explosive growth over the last 10 years, surely during the period of the 60s and up until about the 70s. This is due to a variety of factors, certainly an increasing affluence in our country, very extensive federal programs of aid of one sort or another to universities and community colleges, and a not a reawakening particularly, but a certainly appreciation on the part of our citizens that the development of the intellect was perhaps our most valuable natural resource. Now, in the 70s, with a change in the financial picture nationally, a sort of leveling off in this state until its resources can be tapped some more, these kinds of situations are essentially calling for a reevaluation of where we are. in order that our resources available to us in the future work with greater selectivity and impact. And in a matter in which the means can be very clearly related to the ends. This, of course, this process has already started. It will be intensified, certainly, in the years immediately ahead. Alaska, actually, is particularly well served by the great contributions that America has made to higher education. The land-grant college system, or the people's colleges, and universities is probably the single most important contribution ever made by America to higher education in the world. And many countries have been following suit. The community college system, which is developed to an extensive degree in Anchorage and just getting underway in a few other places, sort of completed the principle that we should offer higher education to all those who could benefit from it and who could who had a chance to attend. And the community colleges, of course, established in the various communities were to solve the financial problem of people who needed to and wanted to attend but couldn't afford to go away. Now, as I see it, in this state, our special need over the next few years is to integrate this system into the most effective working system possible to develop so we can deliver the proper education at the proper place at the proper price. This is a most difficult situation, as any of you have had anything to do with trying to integrate an educational system, but I think we can do it if we plan effectively for it. Another point I should like to make is that in terms of the kind of education that should be developed within the system, many people have many varying ideas on this, but if we boil this down to the fundamentals, I think we can say very clearly that any collegiate experience certainly must take cognizance of the fact that a person is a person and a citizen before he is a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, teacher, or craftsman of any type. And thus, each person, therefore, must be educated in the liberal sense to fulfill those particular objectives, which are quite apart from his professional objectives. This is true whether it's in the community colleges or in the so-called four-year campuses. Additionally, we have a responsibility in every state to educate those people who are the innovators in our society, those very few people who have ideas and the kind of intellect to develop those ideas. This essentially is the most advanced education that we can provide. And this education must be provided in a very flexible environment, and those people who are not involved in this particular area must be very tolerant of this particular need, because it really pertains to the few and not to the many. The great middle group of so-called applicators, those that apply the ideas and the innovative concepts of the group just mentioned, teachers, engineers, medical doctors, nurses, all of those people that are involved in the application of knowledge for the good of society, we also have an obligation to educate. And then the technicians, which actually convert for society those things that the applicators find useful for society. These people are those that the community colleges pays special attention to. And again, this group makes up probably the largest group in our educated population beyond the high school, and a good deal of attention must be given to them. I want to emphasize here that every one of these kinds of people, every one of these kinds of objectives in education, are people and objectives which deserve the recognition of dignity and worth to our total system. No one is any better than the others. All are necessary, and thus all must be integrated best we can. Now, when we get to the point of the most advanced education and research, we simply have to decide what we can do best in Alaska. No university can do everything. Every university has to recognize its limitations. What we can do best depends on a variety of things. And Alaska, of course, has a unique location and set of geophysical and biological environments which enable us to stand out among the nation's universities as well as the universities in the world and achieve a rather unique distinction and attract attention to this university, not only within the state, but outside the state. Next question is, how do we select? What criteria would we use for these kinds of things? Well, as a matter of fact, this campus has done pretty well in this respect already. They recognize that there are certain criteria for selection, and these have been based pretty much on your geographical location, your geophysical environment, the extensive marine coastal areas we have, but we haven't really begun to move in the area of, might say, moving into an area that relates to the geopolitical advantages that Alaska has to offer. Here I'm not talking just about the hub of the North Pacific Rim. This is important to be sure. But indeed, Alaska and its type of development and its educational system can effectively make Alaska the hub of all of the northern area of the globe. After all, we are pretty much on the direct and shortest line between Europe and eastern United States, not only to Japan, but to China and Russia. And the detente which is developing now in Asia with these very populous, some very advanced countries, others with potential, such as China, can make Alaska a hub of activity the likes of which we have never seen before. If we think Anchorage Airport is busy today, I venture that in 10 years there will be several such airports, all of which are more busy than Anchorage is today. Even today, there's something like 65 Japan Airlines planes landing and taking off there daily. Imagine what's going to happen when China gets into the act and the Russians do as well. Now, not only can this be a transportation hub and that sort of thing, but an international meeting place for problems of world trade, of political affairs, quite a number of things which can better be done in a relatively neutral central location. Hawaii, for example, has done extremely well in promoting this kind of thing. But Hawaii is not in anywhere near as good a position to do this as is Alaska. Another thing that intrigues me here, of course, relates to the physical environment. We're already working well and widely recognized in geophysics, northern biology, less so in the development of marine resources, and certainly less so in the development of energy resources in this state. I believe the university has to be more involved. This will derive recognition from the state as well as outside the state. New technologies, for example, can make the coal in this state available to areas where it is needed, not as coal, but as gases from coal, and so on. So these kinds of things have simply got to be put into operation, and the university should essentially take the lead in this. And last but not least, of course, we're already working to a very considerable extent on the preservation and the promotion of the human resources of the North, particularly the indigenous population in Alaska, I understand there are programs on this campus which relate very clearly to this situation. There are certainly some outreach programs that do the same sort of thing. With the indigenous culture now developing rapidly, those people getting educated, we have problems in upgrading the teacher programs and bringing these people into the mainstream of life. They aren't ever going to go back to a native culture. And rather than let them simply take things as it comes, as we've done for so many years with some our indigenous populations on the lower 48, I think we can step in and make a major impact on these people, and it will in turn make a major impact on the university. Well, I think to sum this up, I can simply say that we will get deeply into the act of planning the university's future, particularly academic planning. We'll take these kinds of objectives and principles into account, and utilizing the experts on our own faculty without having to bring in outside experts. You know, outside experts are only ordinary people away from home anyway, and we have plenty of ordinary people here, I'm sure, that can be expert right at home. We're going to do this job to make this university fit even better in the future to its potential than has been done to date. I think Walter Hickel put it very well in a recent article, which I think he entitled, "The Day of the Arctic Has Come." I think this is very true. This is a very attractive concept, certainly attracts me, and I want to see the university playing the lead role in this particular concept. And I think with that, I won't say anything more, for I'll be delving into specifics about which I should reflect on a great deal more before I express my opinions on them. But I'd be very happy to respond to any questions that any members of the press may have.
You mentioned that you didn't think that there was a need to bring in outside faculty to solve these particular problems. What about on the administrative level? Have you met in your other experiences people that you would like to bring in to the university on that level?
Not particularly. Of course, I know lots of people that I think would do a good job, but the point is that we have to bring some of our people and many of our people from the outside. We don't produce them all in Alaska. But what I'm referring to here particularly is that in doing our planning, our academic planning, this sort of thing, it isn't necessary to employ a consulting firm to come in from the outside that really knows nothing about Alaska to do the job. Now, these consulting firms will do a job, and they will leave a report, and there'll be a stack 10 feet high in any university, and most of which are largely ignored, largely because they really are not indigenous, they're not developed locally, and I think this is an unfortunate circumstance. And there are people right here on this campus and in our community colleges that can do an outstanding job in this matter, and the point is we're going to do it ourselves. Yes.
You weren't really referring to faculty, you meant not bringing in.
No. Referring to consulting firms. No, in fact, No state fills its campuses with its own faculty. No state university.
What do you see is the commitment of the University of Alaska so far as helping in, well, we have so many underdeveloped villages in Alaska and in the development of this area.
Undeveloped what? I didn't get that.
Developed villages.
Villages. Well, the whole idea of community development, you know, is one that the Peace Corps worked on very strongly. with many young people that had relatively little experience, but given a little intensive work in principles of this, we're able to go out and do quite a job. There isn't any reason why through our statewide services we can't do a great deal in here in terms of advice, organization, school systems, local tax systems, all kinds of things you can think of. There are certainly people in the university who can provide this kind of advice. And in a state as far-flung as this, the university state services system is extremely important. This is really the outreach to the more or less isolated communities. So there's almost every aspect of community development, I should think, could be given considerable amount of help with university programs. And I'm sure they already are in many, many cases.
Dr. Hyatt, do you anticipate consideration of moving the main campus of the university and the administration anchors in the future?
No, I don't. I don't think it's going to happen in the 6 years that I may be here. But let me say this about the system. Just from experience with other systems. Unfortunately, when a system is starting, there seems to be some feeling of mutual competition among the units. Now, some of this is good, very good. I wouldn't want to see a system where we didn't have this kind of thing. But the business about where things should be seems to me to be one of rationality. This campus was developed long before any other campus was developed. It's a mature university. Major programs are here, dormitories are here. There's very little point in reproducing another just like it. On the other hand, the greater Anchorage area is certainly going to be the place where the major population center is. And we must develop a full-fledged campus in Anchorage, building upon the community college, the so-called senior college unit that's there now. I think one of the most urgent planning efforts we have is to put what's in Anchorage together in a viable unit. Now, the next question is, well, what do you move from this campus to Anchorage? I think the answer to that depends on where particular programs can best fit. I would guess that most of the business in the state would be centered in Anchorage. That would seems to be the business center. I would guess that many of the educational teacher education programs would be centered in Anchorage. And possibly many others that I'm not now well acquainted with. But the point is that we don't have to develop everything on this campus. Many things can be developed on the Anchorage campus. We don't need to duplicate these kinds of facilities. We will duplicate, of course, the undergraduate programs to a very considerable extent because this essentially is cost-effective. In other words, the classes there are big enough and the classes here will be big enough on many of these courses that are in the general core of the various kinds of programs. But these are the kinds of concepts that we have to develop in this total planning effort. And I don't think anybody right now can say exactly what program should go where. We have a just as serious problem among the community colleges. Should you develop everyone into a comprehensive community college with all forms of technical and vocational programs given? I don't think we can afford it. So again, each one has to be tailored pretty much to the needs of that community. And we may have to do all sorts of rigging of part-time programs or summer programs in one place or another in order to fill the gaps of these without having to undergo the overhead costs that it would take to put everything on every campus. This would be wonderful if the state had lots of money, but I don't think it's ever going to afford this kind of luxury.
When you were hired, what do you think specifically is in your background or your field of expertise that the University of Alaska is looking for?
Well, that's hard for me to say, since I wasn't on the other end of the hiring chain. But I presume the university was looking for someone with some experience in university administration, or had some experience in a university system.
So the point of the question is, do you have any indication what the university wants you to do? You mentioned integrating the system. Is this one of the...
Yes, the things I've mentioned are essentially what they want me to do. And as I say, the first thing we have to do essentially is to sit down and develop a plan for doing these. And this is a big job. This is not a simple matter by any means. It'll take a good many months to work this all out. Yes. Good night. Okay.
As far as support of higher education, I understand the state of Alaska ranks 41 in the United States. So it seems to me that if we're going to get University of Alaska to where ranking
in what context is it 41? This per capita contribution or per student, Don?
I think it's a study of the Dr. Heffer index, the relation of ability or several other factors with Alaska with ranking. And it seems to me that the Heffer index.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what is wound into that at the moment. We've got to raise it, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. It seems to me that we're going to have to convince, you're going to have to convince the voters that more support is needed if this university is going to make these kinds of strides. They might go off.
No. Yes, well... The means to this end, and what I'm talking about in this planning mechanism, it's very difficult to sell a product, even education, which everybody knows is good. It's difficult to sell that when the cost is great, if the buyer doesn't really know exactly what he's buying. And essentially, this is almost the case in every state. Alaska's not the only one. It's this way. And that's why I think it's very important to get a pretty fully developed plan which can be extrapolated in terms of programs, costs, locations of units, all of this sort of thing, so that anybody can sit down and figure out essentially just how much it's going to cost if you want this level of education. See? Then it becomes a matter for those who provide the money to decide what level of education do you really want to provide in this state. And if there are only 41, we can show that very beautifully on graphs using a very black column for Alaska and very light columns for all those that are above. You'd be surprised what an impact these kinds of things have on a legislature, for example. And this is the kind of thing that I hope we can develop. No legislature really wants to know that its effort for its state university system only ranks 41st in 50 states. You know, this is not anything to brag about, to be proud of. Now, it may be that if one looks at another set of figures, you may find that the per capita or per student input in Alaska is very good. I don't know. I suspect it probably is, and probably way up near the top. So this is a problem of how you balance these kinds of figures. It's not simple, and it takes a lot of effort, and it will take an effort of everybody in our administration and everybody in our faculty to really put this across. But we have to have a single story, which is meaningful. Yes, ma'am.
In developing this plan and setting the priorities of the statewide university system, how much do you intend to use students and how them to learn?
Well, we would hope We would hope that on the committees that are involved with the plan, and there will be many, of course, each unit, finally an integrating committee, we would hope that every one of these students will be represented. We found the student input really quite good in Hawaii. As a matter of fact, better than a good many of the faculty we had on the committees. They have lots of ideas, and if student idea is far out, they can be told so and see the point. And we have not found that students in any way can do anything but help on these kinds of committees. So I would expect that we'd involve everybody on the university campus one way or another on this kind of an effort.
A number of faculty in the past have said that before they came up here, they heard the University of Alaska had a pretty bad reputation in academic circles. Are you familiar with any such reputation?
No. You can hear all sorts of things, depending upon who you talk to.
What was your impression of the university's reputation?
My impression, my only impression really scholastically relates to the Fairbanks campus, because this is the campus that's essentially known outside. And the reputation has always been very good. It's difficult to know, you know, about a community college reputation outside the state. I mean, almost nobody ever really hears about it. Sometimes you'll hear that the system is good or something of this sort. But the ways in which one measures this kind of achievement sort of militates against widespread public knowledge of the achievement of, just sort of straight teaching programs. This is difficult to measure, and I couldn't really tell you how any state institution ranked in this regard. But there are ways of measuring this, such as the kind of people they attract to the faculty, the way that the achievement of the students that go on from here to another institution where they're measured against students from various institutions, and this sort of thing. Students that go on, say, to law school or medical school or any other kind of school. There are a number of ways that one gets an impression of the standard of instruction. And of course, each year or so, there are accreditation teams on the campus from a wide variety of disciplines, whose whole job it is